This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03 on Monday afternoon, February 10th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Hart. The week ahead will include a snapshot of inflation plus key earnings reports. We'll cover that in our next segment. But right now, it's the day after the Super Bowl, which often means no shows and low productivity for American businesses. We're welcoming Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago. Rick, thank you for joining us today. And it is a tradition unlike any other, and that is the day after the Super Bowl, we have the annual discussion of whether or not Super Bowl Monday should be a national holiday to give everybody some time to recover from whatever it was they were doing last night.
Well, we've had a lot of conversation. We've talked about the four-day work week, a lot of these things that come up, and then there's events that occur periodically, whether you know it's the Pope's tour through the U.S. or the next Marvel movie that's coming out. But what's interesting about the Super Bowl is it's typically captures about 50% of the adult population between 18 and 35. So that's a pretty big sample of working adults. And the question is, can you turn that into a holiday? And how are you going to make that a federal holiday? Seems really complicated. So I think maybe the PTO thing is going to maybe the solution.
Now, there are some estimates that over 22.6 million people have called in sick today because they were out late last night watching the game. Most will call in sick. Others will just simply not show up. And even though there are some legislative efforts to make the day after the Super Bowl a holiday, Indiana is one state that's considering making the day after the Super Bowl a statewide holiday. It seems like, though, we're rewarding bad behavior. We're rewarding, how much you consume at a Super Bowl party is strictly up to you. And then we're also rewarding you either lying to your employer or simply being unprofessional by not showing up.
Yeah. And I think it's difficult for it's difficult for companies to embrace something that isn't a national holiday. But I don't really have any data for this. But the groundswell to get somebody to endorse the day after Super Bowl as a national holiday seems low. Although we've done some really interesting things in the last few years. Who knows?
Now are there efforts though in an office to give everybody the day after the Super Bowl a day off as some sort of reward for hitting a kind of goal? Like for example, today my kids are off of school because they hit a fundraising goal last fall, and I'm sure there are a lot of other schools that do that as well. It's some sort of incentive that is easy to reach. Does corporate America follow suit?
I don't think the Fortune 1000 aren't going to do that. You're looking at mid-sized, small cap, certainly if you have a smaller business and you have targets to hit for the quarter or targets to hit for the end of the month, and you set that goal and say, if we hit this, this is what we're going to do, you have the latitude to do that. But that's a regional or specific company-based initiative, and it has a lot to do with the culture of the leadership. I mean, you know, if you have an executive team that has absolutely no interest in football, that's a tough sell. And I think at the corporate level, particularly when you have international and global responsibilities, justifying that, you know, yeah, fine, EU takes off all of August. It works for some people. I've never seen anything like that work in the U.S.
And then very quickly, maybe just that very same office could just make the Monday after the Super Bowl a work from home day.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You have a lot of there's a lot of RTO stuff that's going on, whether that's going to work or not. And there are a lot of people that have made it very clear. At least the surveys say that if I can't work remotely, I'm going to change jobs or I'm not going to work here. The reality of that's always very different than what you say in an anonymous survey. But there's lots of ways to play with this that don't end up making it a mandate at the federal level for us to make it a holiday.
Rick Cobb, founder of the workplace consulting firm 2Discern in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. Coming up, a preview of the economic week ahead.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Reports on consumer and wholesale inflation are due this week, along with earnings reports from some top companies. Let's take a look ahead with Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at andrewbush.com, based in Charlotte, North Carolina. Andy, thank you for joining us today. And we start off with two big earnings reports this week from consumer-facing companies, and it's already a pretty good idea, give you a good temperature check on the state of the consumer. And one already out today, and that is McDonald's, and that E. coli outbreak definitely showing up in their fourth quarter numbers.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting time for the markets. I think they're strongly reacting to the potential for the call between President Trump and President Xi. As a matter of fact, there is some belief that the 10% tariffs that Trump talked about are going to come off. And I think that's helping the stock market jump overall. McDonald's obviously is a huge consumer brand. It'll be interesting to see in their commentary what they expect for prices of eggs to be like, because that's such a driver right now for consumers. Food prices and grocery prices have just gone up so much, and they continue to go up due to bird flu. So that's a big aspect of what's going on with McDonald's.
Coca-Cola reports tomorrow, and then on the subject of goods definitely sensitive to tariffs, Deere reports on Thursday. Now, there have been a number of threats to impose tariffs, then go up to the brink and pull them away, and we've extracted some sort of concession. And even if you like the idea of what the White House is doing, if businesses generally don't like uncertainty, so how do they navigate this trade brinksmanship that's going on?
Well, today we just had the president put, you know, 25% tariffs on steel and aluminum, and this hits every industry from automobiles to the aerospace to construction, manufacturing, oil and gas, packaging. I mean, there's just a long list, defense industry, agriculture. So what I would say is this, and, you know, I act as a one-day consultant for a lot of our clients doing board of directors meetings and conferences. I've been telling people for over a year, like, you got to prepare now for what is going to happen, meaning a year ago. No one should be surprised by President Trump coming in and being very active with tariffs. He's had 4 years to prepare for another administration, and they've been very aggressive with this. I would say this is, like, you better have a game plan for uncertainty. And you better be pricing in some of that uncertainty, not only in the price of your product, but also in maybe the volatility of your supply chain. So you better get on that and get on it quick, or you're going to miss out and really cost your company a lot of money.
Speaking of prices, we do have the Consumer Price Index coming out on Wednesday. And what is that going to reflect?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the grocery stuff is really interesting there. We're also so that's really important overall, looking at what the Fed's going to do. We also are going to have Chairman Powell appear before Congress on Tuesday and Wednesday, House and Senate, and they're going to grill him on this, on the inflation side of things and how the Trump tariffs would be impacting inflation. They're really going to drill down and ask him, you know, is this going to affect Fed policy in the sense of staying on hold for longer? And so it's the combination of inflation, not only CPIs out this week, PPIs out this week, we get retail sales as well. But it's really, the market's going to be really closely tied into watching what the Fed Powell says, and also if there's a phone call between President Trump and President Xi this week.
Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and economic futurist at andrewbush.com in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, ways to boost your credit score that don't take a long time.
Money talks as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Credit score has a wide impact on your financial life, from the ability to get a mortgage or rent an apartment to the interest rate on the money you borrow. Let's get some tips to boost your score quickly from Matt Schultz, Chief Credit Analyst with LendingTree in Austin, Texas, author of the book Ask Questions, Save Money, Make More, How to Take Control of Your Financial Life. Matt, thank you for joining us today. And let's talk about taking control of your financial life and finding a way to save a few extra bucks on how much you pay in interest on various forms of debt by boosting that credit score. And what, Matt, is the first and most obvious thing that you can do to get your credit score back up towards 800?
Well, one of the first things that you can do that people may not realize is that you can check your credit report and make sure that it's entirely accurate, because many more people than you might think have inaccuracies on their report that may be holding their score down, because you may have on there where they're saying that you made a late payment that you didn't, and those sorts of mistakes can really hold down your score, and you may not know until you look at your credit report.
Now, what are some ways that you could quickly access your credit report? I mean, there are a number of online utilities, free credit reports, so on and so forth. If you have a credit card, you may have a credit report utility on your credit card app. Is that an accurate reflection of what you have going on?
Generally, yeah. I mean, the truth is that people have lots of different credit scores, but most of them will be kind of in the ballpark of each other. So if you're seeing a score through your credit card company's app or other places, as long as it's generally generally in the same sort of area, you can rely on them.
And then outside of beginning to pay down debt wherever it may be, credit mix and credit utilization rate are two things that also really weigh down on your credit score. And if you address that, can be used to boost it.
Utilization is something that you can actually change without lowering your balances. And if you call your credit card issuer and ask them to add some extra available credit to your card, that can help your utilization. The key is that you can't just go and spend all of that new credit.
And then when it comes to paying bills on time, if you do have that spotless on-time record and you manage to explain away the errant late payment or two, does that make the biggest difference as far as your credit score is concerned?
That is the single most important thing. The most important thing you can do is pay your bill on time every single time, even if you don't pay in full. So I always recommend that people set up auto pay for the accounts. That way it can take a little of the pressure off of your hands to make sure you pay on time.
Matt Schultz, Chief Credit Analyst with LendingTree in Austin, Texas, author of the book Ask Questions, Save Money, Make More, How to Take Control of Your Financial Life. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead, spring housing season is getting underway.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
This is Chicago's news, traffic, and weather station, News Radio 105.9. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. A section of the CTA Green Line remains closed after an overnight derailment. The American penny could become a coin for collectors only. It's the time of year the housing market starts to heat up. We'll check in with a Chicago area real estate expert. It's also Stock Picker Monday. We'll get some suggestions from an investing pro. WBBM Business, the markets are higher. The Dow is up 115 points. The NASDAQ is up 221. And the S&P 500 is up 40. 31 degrees right now in Chicago under mostly sunny skies. Going up to 36 today, sunshine mixing with clouds. It's 12:31, topping our news of the half hour. Passengers had to be rescued from a derailed CTA train on the south side early today. It happened around 2:30 this morning on the Green Line at 63rd and Halston. Service remains out south of 35th Street with shuttle buses being used to transport riders. Firefighters had to use ladders to get the stranded passengers down from the elevated tracks. The White House is issuing an edict involving an American coin.
President Trump has directed the Treasury Department to stop minting new pennies. He said it costs the U.S. more than 2 cents to make the 1 cent coin. On Truth Social, he called it wasteful. And the nickel could be on the chopping block next. It costs nearly 14 cents to make each 5 cent piece. But it is still unclear whether Trump has the power to eliminate coins, as currency specifications are dictated by Congress. Stacey
Lynn, CBS News, the White House.
It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are higher today. Joining us with the latest in what's moving Wall Street is Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager at MacroTides.com, based in San Diego. Jim, thank you for joining us today. And it seems like investors want to start off the week on a high note, and they're shrugging off a lot of the stress that they had, or stress or tension that they have had in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think what we saw last Monday, Rob, was a knee-jerk reaction to the tariffs that President Trump invoked on Canada and Mexico. And then, as we remember, it wasn't very long until Monday morning where Canada and Mexico, made some small concessions, and all of a sudden the tariff clock got rolled back 30 days. I think a lot of investors are of the opinion that this is more smoke than anything in terms of what President Trump is doing. I'm not sure that's a correct position, because I think he is intent on increasing tariffs on our trading partners as both a way to get their tariffs on U.S. goods down, but also as a way to generate revenue. If that proves the right path, then at some point in time, investors, I think, are going to be woken up to, wait a second, this is actually going to do some harm to the U.S. economy, both in terms of inflation and just disruption of trade.
And then, speaking of inflation, we do have the consumer price index and the producer price index. It will no doubt reflect the run-up in the price of eggs. So you will certainly see an increase when it comes to food. But overall, what's the consensus forming on what we will see out of the CPI later this week?
I think 0.3 on both the headline and core seems to be the best guess. Given the takeaway values from January of 2024, Rob, the headline CPI is likely to remain pretty much unchanged at 2.9. You might see a small dip in the core to 3.1, but I think the main message will be, which does the market focus on? Well, a sigh of relief that it wasn't worse, or, oh, okay, it's not, it's not making progress, which only delays a Fed response in terms of giving them a path to cutting the rates. I think it's more likely to be the latter.
Now, steel and aluminum stocks popped today, and this is off of threats of additional tariffs on steel and aluminum products. I mean, obviously, we talked about, we don't really know yet where this is leading, so you can't really plot a strategy, I suppose, but if you do wind up with tariffs on particular goods, and then the other tariffs that are threatened are more or less for geopolitical negotiation purposes, where does that leave the economy?
That's a good question. In a sense, what this is a known unknown, because there's a lot of variables, both in terms of the U.S. and our trading partners, how they're going to respond. Again, historically, the record is pretty clear, Rob, that tariffs are not a positive for economic growth because it's a reflection of protectionism. And obviously, we can look back to the 1930s in terms of what happened after the Smoot-Hawley tariff law. But we've seen global trade has been a boost to both global GDP, lifting standard of livings around the world. So I'm not a fan of tariffs because their track record isn't supportive. And I think that we're going to see some dislocations as a result of that, even if we have some, if you will, some progress in the sense of, oh, some tariffs came down on some of the American goods. So I just think that the ride is going to be more bumpy than presumed at this point.
And does the same go for AI? And I think we might have discussed this earlier, but it seems like a lot of the DeepSeek anxiety is gone, or at least they're turning away from it. And once again, investors are going back into chip makers once again. But the fact that there was such a rapid sell-off just on the word of DeepSeek, is that a sign that maybe that entire sector is just looking for an excuse to cash out?
I think it did. It was that, Rob, but I think there's a longer term issue that is going to build in coming months. And that is NVIDIA and other stocks supplying the chips have rebounded after getting hit on that. And, that DeepSeek announcement. But because, hey, companies like Google, Meta are spending tens of billions of dollars on the build out. So to me, those stocks are getting a bounce because of the spending. But if you look at Google, people are starting to wonder and raising the question of, they're spending all this money, when are they actually going to see a return on the investment? I think that's the shoe that's going to drop sometime in the next 6 to 12 months. And in a sense, we're already seeing evidence of that. Google stock was down 7%. Even as the chip makers have rebounded, Google stock is languishing. So I think that's the bifurcation between the suppliers of hardware and the users that are spending a lot of money.
Jim Welsh, macro strategist and portfolio manager, MacroTides.com in San Diego. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, spring housing season is just about here. What you need to know if you're in the market for a new home.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Now that NFL season is over, it opens up Sundays to other activities like buying or selling a home. Let's take a look at the market for spring with Steve Kirch, Chicago-based real estate and housing expert. Steve, thank you for joining us today. And if you are re-emerging into the home buying market after maybe taking the winter off or tabling your search in November or December, what will you find today and how have things changed in the last couple of months?
Good afternoon, Rob. Yeah, the you're not going to find a whole lot that has changed. There are a few better omens out there for home buyers. One being that mortgage rates have come down just slightly from their peaks in the fall. They are trending under 7% right at the moment. Not very much under, but it's a good break at this time. Sales of homes in the Chicago metro area were up slightly in December. We haven't got the January numbers yet, but most of this is looked at as seasonal right now. So we are kind of in still in the lull period, but we expect in the next 4 weeks or so, again, now that the Super Bowl is over, we expect more people to be out, especially looking at new home communities. That's where this whole Super Bowl indicator started, because most of those people can shop inside in a show place. So that's what home builders always report, is that right after Super Bowl, more people come out looking to buy a new home. But that does also translate to existing homes as well. Just lags a little bit, I think, as we get closer to spring.
Now, there is a first-time home buyer in my life, and I do believe they have closed on that on the home that they liked. But there is a great deal of rate anxiety and price anxiety. Am I jumping on this interest rate at the right time? Am I jumping on this price at the right time? And what is your counsel to people who may think that, oh, maybe I should wait a couple of months because somehow it's going to get better or work in my favor?
Yeah, generally, it doesn't work in your favor. It generally, because home prices, except for a couple notable exceptions in the last decade, home prices tend to climb over time. So waiting to get in, especially if you have the wherewithal to do it, is not necessarily a good idea. You will lose out on some price appreciation. We also, that anxiety on mortgage rates also argues that you get in now while you know what's going on, rather than, as we see, a lot of uncertainty with policy, still a lot of uncertainty with interest rates. So under 7%, if you have a long historical perspective, those are not bad mortgage rates. So I would encourage people not to put off looking for those reasons.
Now, if you are a first-time home buyer, and instead of just endlessly scrolling Zillow and Redfin, hoping that maybe that diamond in the rough will hit the MLS immediately, maybe you should do some research into some programs that can help you make that purchase.
Yeah, that's true. What you're going to need a team of some sort, either a buyer agent. You're going to need to get in touch with a mortgage lender to get pre-approval on a loan. You're going to need a good attorney, if you're getting into this and expecting to close sometime this spring. So all of those team members will help you get involved in the various aspects that you're going to need. Those home ownership programs are out there. A lot of the lenders and the real estate professionals that you'll deal with will have access to the information and will be able to let you know whether you might qualify or not. But always ask.
Steve Kirch, Chicago-based real estate and housing expert. Thank you for joining us today, talking about the start of the spring buying season. It's here. Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday, and still to come, our Monday Stock Picker.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Stock Picker Monday, and joining us with a pair of investment ideas is Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services in Hammond, Indiana. Find him online at horizoninvestment.com. Chuck, thank you for joining us today. And your two selections for Stock Picker Monday come from the financial services sector.
They do. I thought I'd go a little bit of a value bent for you today. The first stock is kind of a homegrown one. It's Northern Trust. The symbol's NTRS. It trades for $112 a share. I like this stock. I mentioned its value. You can buy it at less than 14 times. It's 2025 earnings. Those earnings estimates, by the way, have been going up. The company has beaten the estimates in each of the last three quarters, and it's one of the companies out there where you're actually seeing the earnings estimates rising pretty nicely. The other factor I like about Northern Trust is it's a bit of a dividend play. You get a yield of about 2.7%, and I do like the financials here as evidenced by my two picks, and I think, again, there's still pretty good value there in a market that might be a little tad stretched in terms of valuation. So that's Northern Trust. Symbol's NTRS, and the stock trades for about $112 a share.
And we will now move from Canal, just southwest of downtown, to Stamford, Connecticut, and your next selection.
That's right. That's Synchrony Financial. The symbol is SYF. The stock trades for about $66 per share. Synchrony is an extremely attractive value. You can buy the stock for about nine times its 2025 earnings estimates. Those earnings are growing, by the way, and 2025 earnings estimates are that the per share results will go up about 15% and another 15% in 2026. And those earnings estimates have been rising for both 2025 and 2026. And I like stocks where you're seeing the earnings estimates rise, especially over the last 30 days. You get a little bit of a dividend with Synchrony. It's the dividend yield's 1.5%, and again, it's a stock in an area. They do consumer financial services, so they do consumer installment loans, credit cards, private credit card labeling. So it's a company where, you know, they're going to benefit from consumer spending, and consumer spending continues to hold up pretty well. That's Synchrony Financial, SYF, trades for $66 a share. And myself and our clients own both of these shares.
And also, it seems like a tale of two organizations as far as their customer base. I mean, Synchrony Financial, you talk about the great deal of consumer exposure as long as the consumer continues to spend and puts their purchases on their bank's credit cards. Northern Trust caters to high net worth individuals. So how does that benefit the business versus just millions of people swiping credit cards all the time?
Well, I think, you know, obviously Synchrony is probably going to be a little bit more exposed. I don't think they have, maybe as an affluent client base as an American Express, for example. But I think in an environment where the economy is okay and steady and consumer spending holds up pretty well, the job market's decent, you know, that really benefits Synchrony. A company like Northern Trust, as you said, focuses on a little bit more of an affluent client base via its wealth management and asset servicing. That group, while, you know, is not completely insensitive to what's going on in the economy, does have a little bit more, if you will, staying power. So I think that will hold up a little bit better if you see the economy starting to wane, which I don't think you'll see happen this year.
Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services in Hammond, Indiana. Find him online, horizoninvestment.com. Thank you for joining us on Stock Picker Monday. His selections, Synchrony Financial, SYF, and Northern Trust, NTRS.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.